Thank you. Yes, we did have an interesting journey from Worthing. Our back tyre was going from 37 pressure down to 21. And it did that on three occasions, so we had to pull in and get some more air, and eventually we did arrive. But we're thrilled to be with you this morning and to see your lovely faces in the flesh instead of on Zoom. And I think all of you, apart from Will, look much younger in the flesh. I want to say hi to everyone who's on YouTube. So thrilled that you've joined us today as we look at this important subject of serving God. I've been listening to your series on We Are the Church, and it's such an important series and subject as we come out of another lockdown. We come to session four, and this morning we're called to serve. Now, there's many passages that we could look at this morning, but for the sake of time, I want to focus on 1 Corinthians 12. In the context of serving and ministering effectively for God in the body of Christ, Paul highlights four areas that I want to observe this morning. First of all, he speaks of discovery. There's two aspects of this discovery. First of all, the spiritual gifts. In verse 1, this is what Paul says. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant. The word ignorant here can be translated lack of understanding, lack of knowledge, lack of discernment. Now, we know from chapter 1, verse 17, that they lack no spiritual gift. They had spiritual gifts in abundance, but they were weak and they were shallow in their understanding of the gifts and the activation of the gifts. Now, Paul makes it perfectly clear that every Christian is a recipient of God's grace, and we have all received a gift from God. No exceptions. Therefore, it would be true to say that all Christians are charismatic because they have all received from the grace of God a gift from God or gifts from God to be effective for God in the service. Last month, I booked our car in for an MOT and a service. And the garage came back and they said, Mr. Lynch, I'm sorry to say, you need a full service this year, because last year you only had a mini service. And for the car to run effectively, it needs a good service. Now, to be effective for God, I believe there is great value in a spiritual checkup, a spiritual MOT on a yearly basis. We need to know that we're in the right place at the right time, doing what God has gifted and anointed us to do. Hallelujah. Now, we can do that through prayer. We can do that through chatting with the leadership. We can even do that online. There's great questionnaires online about passion and gifting and your place within the body. But better still, the leadership here are running a course called Improving Your Service for 5 to 6 Wednesday evenings. They will begin on the 9th of June. And it's designed to help you to see how God has shaped you for ministry within Buck's Evangelical Church. It will look at your gifting. It will look at your passion. It will look at your character. It will look at your abilities. And I would highly recommend everyone in the church building today, everyone online, to sign up. It will be life transforming, and it will equip you to be who God's called you to be, to serve the way that God's called you to serve in this church. In January this year, I had a spiritual MOT, which I do every year. In fact, this year, it was a full service, because last year was a very difficult year for Liz and I. We served God itinerant. We were called to serve the wider church just over a year and a half ago. But last year, I preached 7 sermons in 9 months because of COVID-19. And we knew that we couldn't survive spiritually nor financially doing that year by year. So I was seeking the face of God. Within 24 hours, God answered my prayer. I received a phone call from Will, and he said, "We're wondering, would you speak a week of prayer in January, each evening, and then on the Sunday?" Within 24 hours, I had more sermons to do in a week than I had in the past 9 months. And God said to me, "Paul, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep using your gifting and your anointing." And it's imperative that we discover the gift or the gifts that God has placed within our lives. Discover your gift. Secondly, he speaks about discovering your place in the body of Christ. Verses 18 to 20. God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but there's one body. Yeah. Paul says, just as the body is one, but with many parts, so the body of Christ, the church, is one with many parts. And God has placed each part of the body together in order that we might be effective for him. God has placed you within the body, within this church, to do a work that only you can do. That's why Paul writes to the church in Ephesus in chapter 2, verse 10, and he says this: "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do." You see, everybody has a place. Everybody has a function. Everybody has a work to do. I was so passionate in our last church, King's Church Amersham, about everybody finding their place within the body. 1 year in December, I asked everyone in the church to step down from their ministry, to lay down their ministry, and to seek the heart of God through a spiritual MOT and ask God, "Am I in the right place at the right time, being called by you, being anointed by you to do what I'm doing?" You can imagine the elder's response. They said, "It's a bit risky, Paul, encouraging people to step down. Usually we're encouraging people to step up." But I tell you this, in January, the feedback was amazing. People who picked up the same ministry came back with more calling, more passion, more enthusiasm, and only 8% moved to another ministry within the body. I say to you this morning, church, it's absolutely imperative that you discover not only your gifting, but your place within the body of Christ. Second observation is this. Paul speaks of diversity. There's two aspects of this diversity. First of all, with spiritual gifts, verses 4 to 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same work of God. Now, I want you to notice the Trinity is in this diversity. Different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of workings, but the same God. The diversity and unity of the Godhead should be seen within the body. Now, there are many key passages in Scripture that speaks about the gifts. They are on the screen for you. And some Bible teachers have grouped them together in three categories: the motivational gifts, the ministerial gifts, the manifestation gifts, or some of them, they say, it's the speaking gifts. the serving gifts, the sign gifts. And there's actually much debate about how many gifts there are mentioned in Scripture, and they range between 16 to 27. I want to say to you this morning, the important thing is this, that you understand that your spiritual gift or your spiritual gifts are not given for your own benefit, but for the benefit of others. Yeah. And here's the good news. Other people have been given gifts and a gift for your benefit. And the diversity of gifting enables the body to function effectively. Yeah. The second diversity is within the body, verses 15 to 18. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Or if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Now, I want you to know that Paul didn't operate alone in ministry. In the New Testament letters, he mentions over 100 people by name that he connected with, that he ministered with, that he served with. Paul was committed to body ministry. And it grieved his heart no end when he heard about the situation in Corinth. Yeah. There was friction. There was division. There was fragmentation. People were abusing their gifting and their position. People were feeling superior because of their gifting, because of their education, because of their background. And people were being overlooked. There was a spirit of independence. I don't really need you to do what God's called me to do and to be. There was a spirit of isolation. I don't want it to be part of you. And Paul says, stop it. Yeah. Stop it. Yeah. What are you thinking of? You need each other. You need to be connected to each other. And diversity within the body is not a weakness. Paul said it's a strength. Because the ear cannot smell, because the eye cannot hear, because the foot cannot speak, doesn't make them redundant. It doesn't make them an appendix to the body, but the opposite is true. Yeah. The diversity of each part of the body, you and I, make us more effective for God. It's the seen and the unseen. Even those parts that seem less important are essential for a healthy body. For example, I'm no doctor, but I am told that the thyroid gland is a very important gland within the body. It's very small, but if the thyroid gland gets sick, it affects the whole body. Every part of the body would be affected. We need to value and we need to appreciate the seen and the unseen, the youngest and the oldest. Liz and I went to Brazil a few years ago for a preaching tour, and we were in São Paulo, and we were this lovely family, and there was a little girl about 3 and a half, maybe 4, and she was just a sweetheart. I mean, she loved Jesus. She had an encounter with Jesus in a vision that radically changed her little life. I mean, she was just a joy to be with. That evening, we went to preach in the church, and we gave an altar call at the end for Liz and I to pray with people. Over 100 people came forward. And Liz and I went to pray with this woman. And as we went to pray with this woman, who was standing next to us but this wee girl? And I thought, oh, that's sweet. So Liz and I prayed with this woman, and the Spirit of God came on, and she landed on the floor, and she was weeping, and God was doing such an amazing thing in her life. So Liz and I moved on to the next person. And as we were moving on, we looked back, and this little girl is kneeling at the head of this woman, and she's wiping her tears, and she's praying over her. 3.5 years of age. And then for over 1 hour, she followed Liz and I, and she prayed and ministered to people. Even at that age, she found herself within the body of Christ. Paul says, find your place in the body. Play your part. Embrace and celebrate the diversity within the body. Thirdly, he speaks about purpose, verse 7. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, the purpose of the gifts, Paul says, is twofold. First of all, it's to make God known. The word in the Greek here, manifestation, can be translated disclosure or announcement, revelation, to show, to become visible. Yeah. And it's through the working of the various gifts that God shows up, that God reveals himself and works within us. When you activate the gift that is within you, God is made known. If you have the gift of preaching and teaching, it's only when you speak. It's only when you activate the gift that revelation and insight and foresight comes, and people are challenged, yeah, encouraged, and blessed. If you have the gift of help, it's only when you activate the gift. It's only when you put out the chairs. It's only when you make the coffee. It's only when you run the errand. It's only when you make the phone call, yeah, that people recognize and appreciate the kindness and the goodness and the grace of God. If you have a prophetic gift, it's only when you activate that gift that the people can hear the prophetic heart of God. If you have the gift of knowledge, it's only when you activate that gift that God can speak into people's lives and take their breath away. But I want to say to you this morning that activation takes courage. Liz and I were ministering at Lee Abbey just over a year ago. We do a number of conferences there. And we were praying with this young man. And we're standing before him, never met him before. And we wanted to hear the heart of God for this young man. And as I stood before him, I heard the Lord say, toucan. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a toucan, but this is a toucan. And it's a beautiful bird. And the Lord said to me, tell him he's like a toucan. Now, being so hyper-spiritual as I am, the first thing I did was I looked at this young man's nose, because the toucan's got a big nose. And I'm thinking, Lord, I can't tell him he's a toucan if he's got a big nose. And thankfully, he didn't have a big nose. And the Lord said to me, tell him he's like the toucan. Tell him he's special and different and unique. Tell him he's like the toucan. He's colorful in character and personality. Tell him like the toucan. Once you see a toucan, you'll never forget the toucan. And tell him this. I know that people have been negative towards his character, but I love him for who he is. And as I shared this with this young man, the tears just rolled down his face. And we were there for about 15 minutes, and eventually he stopped crying. I said to him, so I guess that made sense. He says, you've no idea. He said, my hobby is bird watching. He says, my favorite bird is a toucan. Wow. He goes, and I came this weekend because my character has been assassinated. Wow. You see, God longs to make himself known through the different gifts within the body. But we need to activate them. We need to come out our comfort zone. Secondly, it's for the common good. Paul says, I've got news for you. It's not all about you. And he said, it's not even about me. It's about the body. So in Ephesians 4, verses 12 to 14, he says, the gifts are given to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Paul says three things happen when you activate your gifts. First of all, we prepare each other for service. We serve each other. We inspire each other. We equip each other in our calling, passion, gifting, and destiny in God. Second thing that happens, he says, you build each other up. When you activate your gifts, when you serve each other, the body is strengthened. I say this morning this, we are much stronger together than we are apart. You know, one of the most underestimated gifts we have in Scripture is that of encouragement. Liz and I have missed church immensely over the past year. So on Easter Sunday, we were desperate to go to a service. Liz found this high Anglican church doing an open-air service right outside their main building. And so we went along, and it was so refreshing. It's not a church that we would attend every Sunday. Father Frank was an amazing guy, but it was so refreshing just being with God's people and singing and hearing the word of God. I went home and I emailed Father Frank. Well, he came back straight away. You'd have thought I'd given him $1 million. He was like, whoa, thank you so much for your email of encouragement. You have no idea what that means to me. Why not within the body of Buckskin this week, here in the church and online, why not this week activate the gift of encouragement? Send a text, send a card, even send a letter if you do write letters nowadays. Pick up the phone and encourage somebody in their service and in their ministry. Thirdly, Paul says we become mature. He goes on to say, you will no longer be like infants blown here and there by every wind of teaching and doctrine, but you'll become mature. This is what Bill Johnson writes. God's Spirit has been given to God's people so that God's world may be drawn to God's Son. But you need to discover your gift today and make sure you're using it for his glory. Okay, finally, I'm almost there. We want to look at the source. First of all the gifts are given by the Spirit of God. Verse 11, all these are from the one same Spirit, and he gives them to each just as he determines. I don't know about Will or the eldership team here, but I've been thrilled and delighted that over the past 35 years in local church ministry, I was never responsible for giving out the gifts. Never. It is the responsibility of the Spirit of God. We have a responsibility as leaders to recognize gifting and to lay hands and to pray and release gifting. But it's the Spirit who decides. And it's the Spirit who imparts. Paul, in verse 1 of chapter 14, he says this, eagerly desire, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. Don't be half-hearted. Don't be half-baked. Don't be lukewarm about the spiritual gifts. Seek the giver with all of your heart, and you will not be disappointed. Secondly, the Holy Spirit not only gifts the gifts, but he empowers the gifts. These gifts do not operate according to enthusiasm, according to excitement, according to determination and grit, nor your energy, but it's by the Spirit's power. Paul says to the church at Ephesus, "Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within each of us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generation." Paul says, God's at work by his power within each of you, within every vessel that belongs to him. He is active. And he's active within the body here at Buckskin Evangelical Church. But, and there's always a but he longs to do more. In these verses, his activity is seen in three ways. And with this, I close. First of all, his activity is beyond our expectation. Paul says he longs to do immeasurably more. The word here in the Greek means limitless, vastness, incapable of being measured. To the church at Corinth, Paul says, "No eye is seen and no ear is heard and no mind can conceive what God has prepared for those that love them." But in these days, in this day, he's revealing it by his Spirit. His plans, his activity is beyond expectation. Secondly, his activity is beyond asking. He wants to give and do much more than all we can ask. In the context of giving, in Matthew 7, Jesus says, "If you, though you be evil, give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask?" God wants to lavish his gift upon each of us today. He wants to give us more than what we're asking for. He wants to take our breath away. And his activity goes beyond thoughts, more than all we can imagine. I tell you, church, this is not a time to batten down the hatches. This is not a time to huddle together and wait for the trumpet and the rapture to come. This is a time to think outside the box. This is a time to think that there is no box. It's a time to dream. It's a time to think the unthinkable and to believe the impossible. We're in a season where the Spirit of God longs to take us beyond our expectation, our asking, and our thoughts and imagination. Before I hand over to Stuart to lead us in worship, I'm going to ask Liz if she'll come and just share something that she received on Wednesday as we were praying for you today and for this service. Liz.
So as I was praying, I felt the Lord saying to me very clearly, for some of you, this is a new season. It's time to let go of what has been and embrace the present. You've battled much and you've endured much, and with that brings about change. Discover the new you, who you are in Christ Jesus and more. Enter in to all that Father God has for you. In doing this, you'll not only help yourself, but you'll step into areas where you'll be able to help others to find themselves and to help them to find the way forward as they struggle. There's a tension as we battle. We are called to battle, but we're also called to be still and know that he is God. When we went through a really difficult, dark time in our lives, somebody sent me this card, and it had a poem by Amy Carmichael in it. And the beginning of it, the start of the poem was, "In acceptance lieth peace. O my heart, be still." So God bless you as you wait on him.
Amen. So whether you're in the church building this morning or whether you're at home, I want to encourage you today as we worship together to be open to receive what God wants to release into your life. He wants to give you more than all that you can ask and imagine. He wants to release that treasure and that potential within. He wants to release that gifting and calling and destiny that he's placed within each of your lives. So let's stand as we respond in worship together.